Flicking through today's Observer magazine, the headline, Holy Rollers, emblazoned across a casino table, barely registered. On turning the page, it was the photo that grabbed my attention. I flipped back and read the byline. Could gamblers do with a little help from God? Would a rich spiritual life improve a rugby team? And does faith have a place in the theatre? The article was about chaplains, those who offer religious and spiritual care within an organisational setting. The photograph was of my friend and colleague Lindsay, dressed in clericals, standing in the Apollo Theatre. Her ministry there involves supporting all of those who ensure that the show goes on, backstage and front of house. She's there when actors grapple with insecurity, ambition, and disappointment. She's there when a member of the audience falls ill. She was there in the aftermath of the roof collapse at the Apollo. In Lindsay's words, we need to go out and meet people where they are, where they literally are. Chaplains serve in hospitals, schools, rugby clubs, with the armed forces, in theatres, dockyards, prisons and cruise ships. They were present at the Olympic Park. They serve at the heart of Canary Wharf. We have town centre chaplains here in Guildford and pray regularly for Canon Andrew and his colleagues in the university chaplaincy. Perhaps chaplaincy helps us discern more clearly the calling of the whole people of God. We are each called to pay attention to our context, at home, at work, on holiday, whilst pursuing our interests. It's not so much about bringing God into a place, but discerning God in it. It's not about having an answer to everything or occupying a moral high ground, but it is about living and acting in such a way that reflects the love of God. It's perhaps a relief to know that we're resourced for that pattern of life by God himself. We're called to more than social niceness or usefulness, but nor are we called to fulfill a heroic ethic in our own strength. This evening's readings help us to get to the heart of the matter, to see our calling as rooted in Christ, to appreciate the gifts of others and to receive them as blessings. Matthew gives us a snapshot of Jesus' ministry. He's been teaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. The sick, afflicted, and marginalized have been brought to him, and in him they have found healing, forgiveness, and restoration. Unsurprisingly, his fame has spread. Great crowds are following him. And at this point, it feels as if a pause button has been pressed. What does all this mean? Jesus saw the crowds. He saw their demands, their longing, their curiosity, their admiration. He went up a mountain. He ascends to a place associated with the awesomeness of God's presence in cloud and thunder, a place of encounter and revelation. He sat down with his disciples. He'd called them by name. They had the courage to join him. And just as Moses taught the people of Israel, so Jesus begins to teach his disciples. Jesus fulfills both the law and the prophets, and we too are drawn into that learning community that we might be a holy people. Our learning is rooted in the holiness of God. For the people of Israel, that holiness is rooted in obedience to God. As they journeyed towards the promised land, they received the law and the commandments. and when they reach that place, they are to keep the Passover. Remembering recalls God's nature in the present. Recollection shapes the future. It's rooted in worship. In times of power and periods of exile, the prophets reminded the people of Israel of the signs of God's kingdom: justice, mercy, compassion. This is holiness. For us too, the call to be a holy people is rooted in the nature of God, in our encounter with God, in scripture, in worship, in fellowship. The words of the Sermon on the Mount are so familiar to us, perhaps too familiar, that they risk sounding legalistic, guilt-inducing, or impossible. However, because they're spoken to us by Jesus, we're to hear them not as hard sayings or platitudes. On his lips, the blessings and promises reflect our character, our community, our God. These are words of hope and encouragement, because Jesus himself fulfills the law and the prophets in all righteousness. The one who utters the words, "Blessed be the poor in spirit, the peacemaker, the meek, those who thirst for righteousness," is none other than the Son of God. The one who promises mercy, who fulfills our longings, who brings comfort and draws us into God's kingdom as his children, is the one who is God with us. If that's not true, the words are just ideals. But if it is true, then by the power of God's Spirit, we are caught up in a new reality. For in Jesus, God reconciles the world to himself. In him, there is forgiveness and peace. As Christians, that conviction is as central to us as our fellowship and belonging. And worship is the hub that holds all that together, our encounter with God and our encounter with each other. We cannot live up to the demands of discipleship alone. For not only do we rely on God, but we also depend on one another. To be blessed is to share in the love of God. To be blessed is to be a blessing to others. The range of those whom Jesus calls blessed indicates that the world is in the process of being transformed. For God's kingdom embraces all people. It is breaking in upon us here and now. The diversity of those Jesus calls blessed reflects the diversity of the company we keep as God's pilgrim people. To be part of this learning community, to be disciples, is to depend on others. We depend on those who reveal to us the gifts of the kingdom in their humility, gentleness, mercy, or passion for justice. We depend on those who help us to seek consensus, who endure hardship, or have the gift of joy. These are the fruit of the Spirit, particularly pertinent to us in this cathedral church, which bears the dedication to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that leads us in worship, the Spirit that leads us into the world. Mercy, peace, righteousness describes the nature of life lived in relation to Jesus in the power of his Spirit. We are to be salt and light. We are to be visible, to be signs of hope. It's important that we gather as God's people in praise and prayer, for in worship we encounter God's loving holiness. But we are also called to put ourselves into everyday life. The chaplain, the volunteer, the manager, the musician, the scientist, the parent, the friend, the scholar. All are called to be present. For being present is everything. In conversation, care, making connections, offering assurance. By being present with others, we bless and receive blessing, and the kingdom of God draws near. Amen.